There's been this idea for a long time.
What at?
Married men seem to think the second they decide to commit themselves to someone else, mm-hmm. women start to notice.
They want it.
They are getting more attention from ladies, and mm-hmm. it sure does feel like they want them committed way more than they wanted them when they were single. And every woman goes, shut up, you're stupid. Well, guess what?
What happened?
It's not in your head.
What is it?
At least according to this article. Because it turns out getting married might be the best thing you can do to meet new women.
Damn.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5. WCMF, you can hear our voices. Mm. But let's say you wanted to see how sexy two married men look, ladies. Hello.
Watch us talk.
You can log on to our OnlyFans account, or you can get us on the Odyssey app, WCMF.com, YouTube and Twitch, The Break Room, WCMF on YouTube and Twitch, brought to you by our good friends over at Three Heads Brewing. Three Heads Brewing, a whole room full of sexy married men.
A lot of handsome. A lot of handsome.
I have an article in front of me, Tommy.
So how does it work?
The headline, Why Every Single Woman Wants to Date a Married Man.
Damn for daddy.
Where'd you get this headline?
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
The New York Damn Post. For daddy?
Damn for daddy. No, see, we tried to blow past it.
It's a great Van Halen song.
How's that go?
Got it bad, I'm damn for daddy.
Why is Sinatra doing Van Halen?
I don't know. Well, he did a lot of crossover work.
Damn for daddy talking.
Can we stop saying buying that?
Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. The author tried to get to the bottom of why married men always feel like single women give them more attention after they say I do.
So what do you find?
Fun fact. Yeah. And by the way, it's a she. It's a female who wrote this article.
Oh, lady writer.
74% of married men say more women have hit on them after they got married than when they were single. And for years, people like Kimmy believed it was in our heads. They're not giving us more attention. We think they are.
Well, it seemed like maybe you were looking for it more. Maybe seeing some things that weren't really there.
Looking for flirting in all the wrong places.
You could have used love. Still would have worked.
Oh, yeah, true.
And she doesn't know.
She said hi to me today.
Why are we all Southern all the time? I'm going to read you a quote from this article. Quote. It's because his wife has improved him. She's probably gotten him a new wardrobe, a new skincare routine. My friends and I are constantly outraged by the high percentage of single men with poor hygiene, bad breath, smelly bedrooms, dirty plates in the sink. Many don't seem to have the basics down.
So wives put the polish on us.
Yes, which makes us more attractive
to other women.
Yes. There might be something to that.
We are now, after being married, better versions of our single selves thanks to the women in our lives.
Nice ride.
And because of that, we are finally getting attention from women that would not have talked to us when we were single had we wanted to talk to them. Thoughts, Kimmy? Exactly!
Maybe, no, I was going to say, maybe that kind of plays into my theory,
which is,
I think it, especially at a certain age, a woman might meet a single dude and think, all right, what's the red flag? They immediately go into it thinking, what are the red flags here? Why are you still single? Mm. You know, they're looking for other people to spot signs in that person of why they're maybe not a good match. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think if you meet a guy who's married, well, he already has a stamp of approval from a woman. Mm. So it kind of makes you like a more comfortable option. I don't know how to put it, but like,
so you want to ruin my kids' lives because I'm a more comfortable option?
No, I'm not saying like you would even
homewrecker
act on it, but I might feel more comfortable talking to you than I would that single dude over there where I'm looking for the problems with that guy.
So your argument here,
I'm not saying like it's the right way to go about it, but maybe psychologically, like you think that married guy is a safer option.
So it's funny you bring that up because it turns out Kimmy might have just hit it right on the head.
All right.
In this article, Tommy, a few years ago, there was a study done and a theory was floated by a psychologist that women are attracted to the stability of a married man.
Stability. That's the word I'm looking for.
That's what she's looking for in a mate.
Married men are not afraid of a relationship because they're married.
Right.
They have to keep their you-know-what together to make their relationship work, so they're less likely to go off in crazy directions. Right. In fact, when psychologists ran an experiment that was published in Psychology Today, it showed that women the same picture of a man, exact same picture, told the couple that he was married, told the couple of the women that he was single. 90% of the women who thought he was married said they were attracted to him. Only 59% of the women who believed he was single thought he was attractive.
I bet you that makes sense. Like, yeah. So, like, it hits all the comfort zones.
Yeah.
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 Because think of it. Let's say you had two guys, 50 years old.
Okay, kinda so your fantasy. At,
yes.
Yes. I don't have anything else to say right now.
Like, if I see that single guy, and he's a good-looking guy, I'm thinking, well, maybe he doesn't want to settle down, because he could date somebody if he wanted to.
No.
Okay, you,
I'm gonna
you
give
go
you a better. I'm
point.
Gonna. I'm
okay.
gonna. Let me just finish this thought.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
So you have two guys who are 50 years old.
Yeah.
One's single.
Yeah.
The other guy's widowed.
Oh.
That widowed guy is gonna plow through that field faster than a Nebraska farmer.
I think faster than like Iowa farmers.
Oh, Nebraska.
Well, you get. You have a lot going on there, because now you also get sympathy on top of it.
Right, he's a good man. Okay. He was with her till the end.
Sure.
Like
sure.
It just checks off all the poontang box.
Look, I agree with everything you're saying, but I'd like to go back to this psychology study, right? And the phone number is 252-WCMF. To you men, 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Have you noticed that you get hit on more since you were married? To you women, although you may feel ashamed right now as we're exposing you for the world to see, what is going on in your head when you find yourself attracted to a married man? Again, in this study, 90% of women who were shown a picture of a man and told he was married were attracted to him.
Mm-hmm.
Only 59% of women who were shown the picture of the same man and told he was single said they were attracted to him. It's so effed up. And it's weird that Kimmy's got a lot to say about what's in our minds, psychology, but what you haven't brought up is the irony of this
whole nature,
thing.
Nature, Pat.
Is it nature? Oh, you're Tommy now? You do something bad that you can control, and all of a sudden it's human nature, man. The irony of this.
Yeah.
The irony of this.
Oh, yeah.
You women want a man who is stable and wants to be in a relationship.
Yeah.
But if he ends up going along with you pursuing him, he is no longer stable and is blowing up that relationship.
True.
You ladies, getting what you want makes him not what you were looking for in the first place, even though that's what drew you to him. And I think I just went cross-eyed figuring that out.
No, I mean, you're not wrong.
Doesn't that make you worse than us?
No, but here's the thing, and here's what I'm thinking. Like, I feel super comfortable hanging around you as a married man.
Hello.
If you were single, I wouldn't feel as comfortable hanging around you.
But you're not you're not attracted to me.
No, I understand that. But there is some like weird thing going on where it's like, I don't even think twice about it. Whereas if you were like single you and we were like out somewhere, I'd be like, this is weird. I don't like this.
Single adult male has a scumminess to it. Women feel
like
there's a little bit of a scum to a single guy.
You
got a little scum on you.
You do. Like, you're a 30, 35-year-old single guy.
Like, your sheets definitely aren't clean.
Right. Like, there's a scumminess to you. And it's not always warranted. But, you know, the perception is a reality.
Oh, no, you're trying to sound smart.
No, I sound like a sales guy.
I said the word psychology, and here comes Dr. Mueller.
Dale Carnegie.
Shut up.
Ziegler said it best for me. But I'm saying, like, I think there is that, to Kimmy's point, like, he's a piece of crap.
Okay.
Like, why is he 35 and alone?
Okay, fine. But
you did it to me, man.
But you were a piece of crap.
I was very neat and clean.
No, but you were a huge, like, your emotion and soul was crap.
But they don't know that till later.
The second you open your mouth, hey, you got boobies. I'll tell you why I'm single. We'll go on a date sometime.
What do I sound like Jerry Lewis doing an Oriental guy?
252-WCMF, 252-9263. The headline reads, why every single woman wants to date a married man. And the theory from this woman who writes the article is that our wives have improved us. We were single and gross and bummy. I'll read the quote again. It's because his wife has improved him. She has probably got him a new wardrobe, got him on a skincare routine. My friends and I are constantly outraged by the high percentage of single men with poor hygiene, bad breath, smelly bedrooms, dirty plates in the sink. Many just don't seem to have the basics down. Women in a study were more attracted to men they believed were married than men they believed were single. 74% of married men say women have hit on them more after they got married. And Kimmy's got all kinds of things to say about men. But as soon as this psychological study comes out, well, you know it's just the human nature, man. It's just how we feel. How can I fight what I feel inside, even though I'm going to blow up that other woman's life? And that's the other part of this.
Yeah.
Like, you could be team woman here and defend yourself, right? But let's say, again, a woman that is attracted to a married man pursues him for the things that you think she wants. You're also destroying that woman's heaven.
But we're not talking about pursuing that person. We're talking about being attracted to a person.
Just like a casual flirt. almost, right?
You sure?
I mean, you might not even have to talk to that person to be attracted to them. Like, it could go nowhere, okay. But just in your mind, like, that person is more attractive to me because of the relationship that they're
in. All right, no, that's fair. So, like, if there was a married guy, like, working here, and there was another married woman, and he found him, he came down and goes, Kimmy, I got to be honest with you. I find myself attracted to this woman I work with, and, you know, I flirt with her, but I'm never going to pursue it. That guy wouldn't be a scumbag, right?
Well, why would you say that out loud?
No, but that's the scenario we're painting here. You would think that guy was a scumbag.
But I thought we fired that guy.
No, there's eight more of them
upstairs.
But I guess,
but if a woman came down here and said the same thing, you'd think the same thing about her.
You justified it by saying, if you're not going to pursue it, it's okay. And I'm arguing that if a man was doing the same thing, you would think that guy is a piece.
But we've come up with different reasons for why they're doing it. What would be your reason as a man for doing that?
Flirting with a married woman?
It wouldn't be because you feel safe, or it wouldn't be because of stability.
No, my ego stroke is what it would be. Yeah, I like the attention from a woman, and I think that men, yes. when they come home and tell their wives that I was hit on, or when they're out.
Don't do
no,
that,
no,
by
I'm
the
saying,
way.
I do it every time. No, I'm do saying, like, if you were a...
Guess who's wanted? Me.
I'm talking about flipping the situation. If you were a guy hitting on a married woman,
yes.
what would be your reasoning?
Because she's hot?
But that's
my point is, like, we're talking about, like, what inside a woman's head would attract her to a man, a married man. And it's more about stability. It's not about, like, that
it's
initial.
It's not sexual.
Like, yes.
Wait
yes.
A minute,
it's not sexual.
Minute.
She's seeing more the things that he brings to the table where you're just looking at her body.
It's the qualities you assume a married man has.
You will go home and fantasize about that woman in a sexual way. You'll work that woman into your...
That's what he's saying.
No, I'm saying, like, you as a man see a hot woman, you will work that woman into your rotation.
Because if that woman was married and not hot, you wouldn't care.
You would have
it's
her in,
just about her looks.
You would have her in sexual scenarios in your head. A woman will not do that.
How do you know? How do you know that a woman cannot
be... A good girl that does her job will not do that. She will look at that guy as a stable, loving individual in her life.
If that is something she's attracted to, she can be sexually attracted to that.
No, but she's not gonna go there.
How do you know? You're not a woman.
She's not gonna porn her.
How do you know?
I mean, women.
No, you don't.
I mean, I guess it
talking
could
to one
go
right
there.
Now.
She's looking.
I don't know what women fantasize about. It could be something they fantasize about.
She's looking at you with horror as you're taking the point and running it off 100 yards away, and you know.
But
Kimmy.
I was just pointing that out because you said, "Well, you'd look at a guy as a piece of crap who would hit on a married woman."
Yes.
But that's only because she's hot. That's the only reason
you
you're
doing
it.
You want to take her to Bone Town.
It has nothing to do with her being
Population
married.
Population you.
Is that near Skinny Atlas? Look. I find it interesting that in the defense of your gender, which I guess I understand, home team, that you're going to narrow it down
you asked why that happened.
Hold on, he's not done mansplaining your thoughts to you.
She just female-splained me.
I'm going to tell you.
She just female-splained
me. Well, I know I asked a question and you didn't come up with an answer.
I'm giving you the answer right now.
You're getting pass-splained.
I find it interesting.
Young lady.
You just took someone to Bone Town in an explanation and I'm mansplaining? Bone Town, Population U, by yourself.
Well, Tommy was kind of answering for you.
Which was not my answer. I don't think there's a difference if you find yourself attracted and flirting with someone who is married, whether or not you're attracted to them because they're sexy or attracted to them because they're stable.
I'm not saying you should do it. I'm just explaining why maybe that would be preferred to a woman.
You defended women. You are not defending men.
Right, because I can't come up with an explanation. That's why I asked, why would you hit on a married woman?
All right.
And you didn't say anything.
No, I said because... We said Bone Town.
Because she's hot.
Yeah. Or it's an ego stroke, because it's mutual. That's why you would do it. And I think part of it, too, is if you're a single guy...
Mm-hmm. But that doesn't... But my point is that doesn't have anything... Okay, the challenge is a reason.
And I think there's a challenge in women, too. You have to admit.
Could be, yeah.
Am I better than her?
I think it has to do with ego, too. I think you're right on that. On both sides.
I'm going to go back to mansplaining.
Ego on both sides.
Oh, listen to this. Look, I am very impressed with your ability to calmly argue this piece of crap thing that you women scientifically do. And I don't mean to come down on ladies.
No.
But all I'm trying to do is stick a flag up for men every once in a while. Because I agree with you. Scumbag dude hitting on a married woman. That guy's a scumbag. Married man doing that. Scumbag. Yeah. But if you're doing the same thing, it's the same thing.
No, I don't. I agree with you, but I also don't think if you're drawn to that, doesn't mean you act on it.
And I'll, okay, fine, but I'll go even further on the point that you made. I'll even agree with you, Kimmy.
Mm-hmm.
even agree with Kimmy as I smugly put my glasses on to make my point. This is one of the few instances, this story, where ladies take the lead in the scumbag department. Because there are lots of low end. No, Kimmy, I need you. I need you. I need you here. There are lots of low end, dishonest, manipulative things, Tommy, that men are willing to do in an effort to get laid or
made. Oh, we'll do all of it.
Right? Okay. But it doesn't feel like a woman being in a relationship makes them sexier. Mm. There's that challenge argument, fine, but it's not a huge thing.
No.
Right? There's the ego stroke, but you can get an ego stroke from another woman. Mm. I get there are guys that'll be attracted to a woman and not care and do it anyways, even if they're married.
Yeah.
But this study shows that women are more attracted to men in relationships, which makes you scummier,
but
Kimmy.
But I think it's because of the qualities you see. It's not because they're in a relationship. It's the qualities that you assume they have because they're in a relationship.
But they wouldn't have those qualities not in a relationship.
Well, you don't know. Or you don't... Again, it's all assumptions.
I mean, they base it on, well... some other woman found him attractive, so he's got something going on there.
Or again, that I'm not he's just, seeing his ability to commit, maybe.
Yeah, and be a good father, be a provider.
And he could be a piece of crap husband. I don't know.
But, you,
but
they
just
see
initially
stability.
Seeing it,
they smell stability.
You know, the ultimate irony here, and I guess the thing that hurts the men the most, I guess if you're going to look at it from 1,000 feet up, right? Like if you're married, you love your wife, that's great, awesome. But all we did. For all those years, the money we spent, bending over backwards, the stupid risks we took trying to meet women and get laid. And all it took was being with a woman that you love for those women that wouldn't have given you the time of day to be like, oh, now you're sexy.
Yeah, but just because they talk to you doesn't mean like you're they want you.
Here we go again. Here we go again.
Like you think you would have gotten laid that much more if you had a wedding ring on?
I don't know.
So if you're a guy like starting out in a job today,
yeah.
Let's say you're starting a new job in an office. Okay. You got your cubicle.
Sure.
People don't really know you all that well.
Yeah.
Put the wedding ring on, get some fake family pictures and put them up in your cubicle, and just do the social experiment and see what women come around and do.
It's a great idea. It's a great idea. I would love
to
see that.
Are you more paranoid? Like, do you see it more... Because you're paranoid about people hitting on you?
I understand your argument.
It more because you're more conscious of it?
I understand your argument that married men want to believe that single women are hitting on them because it makes them feel good about
themselves.
You
still got it.
Yeah, everybody wants to feel wanted. And yes, like, I'm not getting too old. I'm still trying. Right. Look, I'll buy into that idea. But we have proof that it happens, Kimmy. Let me ask you this question, because you brought up a great scenario. Let's say you're a single man, you start a new job today, fake wedding ring, fake family pictures up in the office, and a woman starts flirting with you because you're married. And let's say it goes a step further, and a physical relationship happens. Who's the more unethical one in the situation?
The person that lied about it?
The man who lied about having a family only to get laid? Or the woman who had sex with what she believed was a married man only because he was married?
Oh, it's the woman. Only based on the fact that she initiated the process. Like, she fell into the trap.
But you set the trap.
Doesn't matter.
I'm going to step back from the mic and let you guys figure this out.
I think if you fell into that trap, you got exposed.
You did. No, I don't know, though, because that's a pretty extensive
not really.
Move you made.
Couple of photos and a wedding, a fake
but
ring.
You faked, I would be freaked out that you printed out fake photos and put them up.
They came with the frame.
Well, you'd have to put yourself in the
photo. Yeah, I mean, like, you're
you can have those ones like kids doing like cutesy things.
I have a black child, an Asian child, a Mexican child.
You get that. You're done.
You're also not lying to just one person. Like, you have to fake an entire life for coworkers.
No, I'm new. I'm just new. It's a social experiment.
Yeah, but you'd have to, like, she's going to tell your coworkers that you're not married. Those aren't real people in your photos.
I understand that.
Do you know what kind of psychopath that's going to make
you
look
like? But that's
not the question. The question is, in the initial trap that I set.
The fact that you're calling it a trap makes us look worse.
But it is a trap.
It is. If you're doing it solely for that purpose.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. I think the woman that shows up sniffing around solely based on what she sees makes her worse.
You're gonna argue
if that's the reason she did it, then yes. I still think it makes you look like a psychopath, but a different kind of bad person, I guess.
I don't know.
This is amazing.
Takes one to trap one, man.
It's just amazing.
Right? You want to catch a thief? hire a thief.
It's pretty impressive that no matter the situation, according to Kimmy, it's always the man who's
a bigger
scumbag.
No, I said she was a piece of crap.
I said bigger scumbag.
Oh, no, I mean, you are just a weirdo if you're doing that.
You are a weirdo.
Again, I'm going to change the argument to include long-term ramifications.
Do you imagine if some people we worked with faked an entire family?
I'm pretty sure
to
that's actually
laid.
Happening with one guy that works upstairs.
Yeah, what do you think about him?
But it's funny how I said that, and we all immediately knew who I was talking about. Oh, no, we all thought of the same exact guy.
Oh, wait, no.
Maybe not?
Maybe not.
Well, we'll find out.
I don't know.
Can we go ahead on him and see what happens? Let's take a break. This is borderline nuts.
Oh.
And like, would have changed maybe music history as we know it.
Yeah.
Because one of the most famous bands on the planet could have gone in three separate ways with three of the biggest musicians we know in the rock and roll genre.
Yeah.
And all of them ended up getting torpedoed in one way or another.
Damn.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock 96.5, WCMF. This week there was an interview in Rolling Stone with Alex Van Halen of, obviously, Van Halen. And he talked about how the band, which is always continuously reinventing itself, at least it did until Eddie died, right?
Yeah.
Didn't even get to experiment in all the ways that they wanted to. So there are three parts to this story.
All right.
And I will start with what might be the most surprising one. In 2001, Gary Cherone, who is the least liked lead singer of Van Halen.
Yeah.
He left the group. And they were in the process of finding a new lead singer.
Okay.
They reached out to Ozzy Osbourne.
What would that even sound like?
I don't know, but now I want to know what Ozzy fronting Van Halen would sound like.
It just like it would work.
Well, look, I mean, Sammy Hagar and Eddie Van Halen and David Lee Roth have very separate vocals, and you can tell the difference in styles. Like, those albums sound different.
Right.
So maybe they would have gone in a different direction again.
Yeah, but would anybody like it?
I mean, I like Ozzy. Van Halen's talented.
It would have been such different music.
So here's the thing. Ozzy was in.
Oh.
Ozzy was ready to go. They approached Ozzy, and he said he was interested. They were deep in the process of making this happen.
And then they let him sing?
No.
What?
The Osbournes launched.
The reality show. The reality show.
And it killed the deal. He was making so much money and having so much success, and all his time was taken up, so he decided to pass. And here's the thing.
What?
Ozzy reached out, or excuse me, Rolling Stone reached out to Ozzy.
Yeah.
Quote from Ozzy. Yes, we were discussing it. It is something that would have come to fruition, and it would have been phenomenal.
Just can't see Ozzy doing those splits and those high leg kicks off the amp.
What would that have sounded like if he hurt himself doing those splits?
Ozzy?
Everybody does Ozzy. Sure, how do you not do that? I'm not even do voice.
That was very good.
Ever done it.
Be the voice guy.
No, you did very good.
Get paid to be the voice guy. So that's pretty interesting.
Yes.
Right?
Wait, there's more?
There is more.
Who else?
Well, so after Ozzy passed, they reunite with Sammy Hagar in 2003. Yeah. But there was another opportunity years later.
With Jimmy Buffett?
No. I listened to that.
Hey, listen to me again, Panama.
I mean, he
is the laid-back version of Frank Sinatra.
But they also share similar locations in music. Panama, Margarita, Cheeseburger in Paradise.
Yeah, the beach. Yeah.
So Van Halen had to start rehearsing new singers when things with Hagar went south. And they reached out to former Soundgarden and Audioslave lead singer Chris Cornell.
I don't know
if you heard it.
Yeah.
Chris Cornell, according to Alex Van Halen, the story, was in. They were sold on him. He was excited. And then Cornell, unfortunately, died in 2017.
He's dead?
So that didn't happen.
Okay.
So up to this point, we have almost had a Van Halen with Ozzy Osbourne and Chris Cornell leading the group. But we're not done yet.
Who's left?
Alex confirms that after Eddie had passed away, they were planning a Van Halen tour to honor Eddie's death in 2020. And the lead man on that show would have been David Lee Roth.
Oh,
they were going to tour with DLR.
Well, you're kind of getting back to your roots.
You got it. But that tour was shot down.
What happened?
When the band wanted to pay tribute to Eddie during the shows, and Alex said that was torpedoed by David Lee Roth.
He didn't want to pay tribute to to his founding partner?
Yeah. Now, to be fair to the story, David Lee Roth was reached out to. His rep called that nonsense. Mm. But everything else in this story was confirmed.
Oh.
So you take what you want with that.
Damn.
So
the hatred ran that deep.
It sounds like it. I mean, I told you, I went to the Van Halen show when they came to Buffalo. David Lee Roth was the front man. It was strange in that arena, man, because you had Wolfgang, who's Eddie Van Halen's son, playing the bass.
And wait, so Eddie Van Halen was still alive at that point?
Eddie Van Halen was alive at this point. This was like 10, 12 years ago. Eddie's alive.
Right.
Wolfgang, his son, is on bass. DLR is the lead man.
Yeah.
And there was a point in the show, it was like a 20-minute show.
Yeah.
5:20. Where the rest of the band left, David Lee Roth came out with an acoustic guitar and sang a song about his dog. When they showed like videos on the big screen of his dog. It was a tribute to his dog.
Oh, he just a tribute to his
dog. By himself. By himself.
Not to Eddie Van Halen.
And it was so painfully obvious that this was like, I'll do the tour, but I get 10 minutes for my dog.
It's Fonzie's bongo solo.
He does not get that. How do you feel about supergroups?
Some of them I kind of like.
What's your favorite supergroup of all time?
Well, probably the Highwaymen was a really good idea.
Johnny Cash, Kris Kristofferson.
Yeah. I mean, you took all those guys, but they had like, wasn't Cream really a supergroup at one point?
Were they a supergroup before everybody else got super big?
I don't
big?
Know.
That's what I was just going to say. Does Blind the supergroup Faith? Have to happen in their prime?
I'm going to make the argument that the supergroup has to happen after all the members are famous.
Okay.
For
so
example,
that would be Blind Faith.
Yeah. But Wilburys, for example. Traveling Wilburys. You know, Dylan and Harrison and Roy Orbison. Yeah. Because like it sounds like it should be the greatest music ever made.
Yeah, but do they last? You know what I mean? They may be for such a short period of time that they don't that supergroup doesn't really live on.
No, you're right. But I can't think of a super hit song.
Yeah.
Where a supergroup gets together and like that song lives on forever, which doesn't make logical sense because you have some of the greatest musician and songwriters that get in a room together.
But a lot of these guys get together as side projects.
Yeah.
What didn't Keith Richards try one with the Winos?
What did he? I don't know.
The Fabulous. It was like I thought he had a group on the side.
Okay.
Like that he tried.
Okay.
I always thought it's like a side project almost. So it's not built to last.
No, I understand. I just like, I don't know. You look at guys like Brian Wilson or Paul McCartney or John Lennon, right? Because McCartney, I mean, Wings, would you call that a super group? It's not really.
No, I mean, that was legit. That was his
other band.
Yeah.
Right.
After the Beatles were done.
But like, okay, let's just use Dylan, Harrison, Orbison. Like, those guys have written some of the most iconic songs of all time, right? Yeah. And you would think you put those guys in a room, they're going to come up with the greatest piece of music that ever existed.
Right.
And it's good music.
But I think they're just having fun.
Okay.
It's almost like these guys always wanted to work together and they kind of do it.
So there's no pressure to produce anything that they don't like themselves.
Yeah.
252 WCMF, interview in Rolling Stone is super interesting. Alex Van Halen says that the band approached Ozzy Osbourne to replace Gary Cherone after he left the band in 2001. Ozzy was going to do it, and then the Osbournes launched. That killed that. They then, after Hagar left the second time, approached Chris Cornell. He was in until he passed away in 2017. And then, after Eddie Van Halen's death, which is, I don't know how you tour Van Halen without Eddie Van Halen, but that's beside the point.
All right.
They were going to do a reunion tour with David Lee Roth, and that was ended when David Lee Roth freaked out at the suggestion they pay tribute to Eddie during the show. David Lee Roth's reps say that's not true, but every other part of that story was confirmed. Yeah. Cody's on CMF. Hey, Cody, how are you, buddy?
Hey, I'm good. How are you doing?
Good, Cody. What do you got?
So I want to play a little fantasy football band style with you guys for a second. One combination I've always wanted to see is Foreigner and Journey.
So, Foreigny.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, Foreigny. Yeah, why not? I mean, imagine Lou Gramm leading some of these top Journey songs, like Don't Stop Believing, Separate Ways. I mean, that would be something to see.
It would, but Steve Perry's voice is so iconic. That, like, even if Lou did a great job,
it'd still be good, but
it would sound wrong.
Top the original.
Yeah, right?
But here's the thing, though. You could put them together.
Ooh.
They both have such a similar sound.
Steve Gramm.
Because they do sound similar. I mean, when you
sounds
think
like
about it, the two bands really fit next to each other. They vibe the same way.
Well, it is funny, too, right? You bring up, like, together. Foreigner and Journey, REO, Speedwagon, Styx. Like, all I know they're not the same band, but they all tour together, so they're all in my head the same way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and also you bring up REO Speedwagon, you could put Chicago in there too with them.
I do. I love me some Peter Cetera.
Okay.
Some cheesy. Cody, thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day. That's becoming a problem in my house.
What?
So I have this bad habit. I love cheesy 80s power ballads.
Mm.
Like an embarrassing amount of love. Like, what's that one that Peter said? Next time I fall in love.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. Like, there's a point in the song where they're just like, we're not going to write lyrics here. We're just going to say ooh five times, right? I know it's a cheeseball song.
Yeah.
I live for it. I am the man who will fight from the Karate Kid for your right.
I could pass on some of that.
Is that because that's what your dad listened to when you were a kid in the car?
Is it a
nostalgia kind of thing?
It may have been, right? It's just big and it sounds big and I don't know what it is. Anytime a song like that comes on the radio, anytime I remember that song exists, I will put it on. And my wife despises
that. Because it's lame.
It is tough if you don't like it. If you don't appreciate it, if you don't like it, that's awesome. Tough music.
I mean, your wife likes jazz probably, right?
No, she only says she likes jazz to impress you. She's at work, right? Yeah, that's the thing. She thought she was impressing you.
I'm pretty sure she likes jazz.
Oh, really? Because there's not a single damn jazz record in my house. But I got Peter Cetera, I'll tell you that. I am the man who will fight for the honor of Peter Cetera.
What is your wife, what's her favorite music?
This is also embarrassing. Right. Recently, she's been listening to like early 90s, like deep, like alternative.
Oh.
That's the early 90s, right?
But I'm saying like
those one hit wonder kind of songs.
We're talking like The Replacements, like bands you wouldn't know. We're not talking Green Day and like, you know, stuff like that. We're talking like some weaker thans, like deep stuff. Oh. But she never mentioned that. Like, I don't even think she knows
but that
the
would
music.
Make, no, but that would make sense because she would have been a kid, early teenager during that time.
No, like, it's coming of age music.
I don't understand why she would listen to that. Probably prime it's for not, her.
Because you're all over the place.
I have an eclectic music
taste. You do. For you, you've had it since you were a kid, which I always thought was weird.
Thank you.
I'm giving you a compliment.
Look who's talking, right?
You weirdo gin drinking 15.
Look who's the man who loves jazz also knows every word to every country song from the 1950s, 60s, and 70s. Wants to drop facts about Big Daddy Don Garlitz and then go play something. Oh, my brother's rule!